Welcome to Local Motion. I'm Kate Redmond for KVNF. On this week's edition, I have two long conversations about Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters. Peters is under investigation for an alleged security breach of voting and tabulating machines under her purview. Sensitive passwords for the machines appeared on right-wing online blogs. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold ordered Peters to hand over Mesa County's election equipment, video footage of the equipment, and other relevant materials to state officials. Peters did not respond, but rather flew to South Dakota to join Mike Lindell, known as the MyPillow CEO, at an elections conspiracy conference where she was a featured speaker. She then went missing. Secretary of State Jenna Griswold took time out of her busy schedule to speak with me. Later in the program, we will also hear my discussion with veteran political reporter for the Grand Junction Sentinel, Charles Ashby. First, here is Jenna Griswold. I don't want to spend too much time on year-old history because I want to focus on the current situation, but Tina Peters was an embattled figure in the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder's Office pretty much from the start. 24 workers in her office resigned rather than work under her. Did such a large turnover paralyze that office?
Well, I think it's important that you have people with expertise in the office. What I can say is that we previously did put a helper in Mesa County to make sure that the county had sufficient knowledge and coverage. That was after the 2019 election when it was discovered that about 600 ballots had not been counted.
Let's jump to this spring when it is alleged Tina Peters entered a secure area of elections divisions with another staffer and a man identified as Gerald Wood, who did not have security clearance, and made copies after hours of the voting machine hard drives and software passwords to prove that election machines can be tampered with. Security cameras were turned off. Can you tell our listeners about the sequence of events and go into as much detail as you can without compromising the investigation?
Sure. In early August, our office became aware that sensitive passwords were leaked online by a well-known conspiracy theorist, which constituted a breach in our election security protocol. The leaked passwords were filmed during a routine update to election equipment where only a small number of people were present. Everyone that was present in that upgrade are required to be background checked, and either a Department of State employee, a representative of the equipment provider, or an employee of the county clerk's office. We later found out that Mesa County authorized a non-employee, Gerald Wood, to attend the voting equipment upgrade, which we call a trusted build, and misled our office in clear violation of an election rule. The department also has determined that Mesa County Clerk and Recorder employee Belinda Kinsley participated in facilitating the improper presence of this non-employee during the trusted build process, which is the upgrade to voting equipment, by misrepresenting that Mr. Wood was an employee when he wasn't. Shortly after the passwords were leaked, the department also confirmed the release of 2 hard drive images from Mesa County election servers by election conspiracy theorists. Analysts have confirmed that the hard drive images posted online belong to Mesa County's hard drive and that they were created before and after the May 25th, 2021 trusted build, which again is the routine election equipment update. The only method to make such copies is to physically access the machine. One of the hard drive images is believed to have been taken on Sunday, May 23rd. And the department has confirmed that Clerk Peters and Gerald Wood accessed the area where election equipment was stored outside of normal work hours on May 23rd. Once we were alerted to the security protocol breach, my office moved swiftly to and began to conduct an investigation. We were ultimately unable to verify chain of custody for the voting equipment in Mesa and could not confirm that the equipment was not accessed or its settings were not altered in an unauthorized manner. I therefore prohibited the use of this voting equipment, and there is now an ongoing criminal investigation into these events.
How long after the alleged security breach did this information appear on the internet on the conspiracy websites?
The security breach, we believe, happened at the end of May, and it was uploaded in early August.
Do we know who Gerald Wood is, and is he facing charges?
I cannot comment due to the criminal investigation and would refer you to the district attorney.
Gotcha. Soon after, you called on the Mesa County clerk to prove that security measures were in place for the voters of Mesa County. She did not do that. What did she do instead?
I believe she alerted us she was taking vacation, and then she left the state. It was reported that she attended Mike Lindell, who is the Pillow Guys conference, really a conspiracy theory conference on elections, and never actually responded to any of the orders directing her to provide information to my office.
Almost exactly a month ago, the 21st Judicial District Attorney's Office executed a search warrant to the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder's Office looking for evidence of the possible breach of election security. What kinds of things were they looking for, and have they sequestered phone and electronic records?
That is a question best directed to the District Attorney.
Okay.
What I can say is I issued my first order on a Monday, directing the clerk to tell us a good time for civil servants from the Secretary of State's office to do an inspection of voting equipment. That was never replied to. So the civil servants did go to Mesa County the next day and were accompanied at all times by members of the county attorney's office and were in the office as the district attorney was executing search warrants.
At this point, the investigation is in their hands, the DA, in conjunction with the FBI. What now is your role in the investigation?
We will continue to support the criminal investigation and, as things unfold, continue to monitor our civil investigation. But my top priority is making sure that the residents of Mesa County have a great election coming up, even with everything going on. So that's why I decertified voting equipment there and put in place a supervisor of the election. We are now requesting the judge remove the clerk from the position of designated election official, which is a position described in law. And we're asking that a judge place Treasurer Reiner and Councilor Williams together to oversee the upcoming election. Either way, they are already working together, so this is a legal action to even further underline their roles in the upcoming election.
Was it a difficult decision to follow through on the decertification?
No, it was not a difficult decision. I wish I didn't have to make the decision. But at the end of the day, as Secretary of State, my role is to make sure that Coloradans can vote in safe, secure, and accessible elections. And given what happened in Mesa County and our inability to see that voting equipment was not compromised, very easy decision to make sure that the elections in Mesa County upcoming are excellent, just like they are in the rest of the state. So we took swift action. The election calendar is really compact. So, you know, I know it's a couple months out, but actually new equipment had to be in place by the end of August for this upcoming election. So we took quick action, put in place supervisors to oversee the election that are our trusted people within Mesa County. And the county decided to replace the voting equipment. The new equipment is already in place and the election process has started.
I was going to ask you if Mesa County was going to have to go to all paper ballots.
Well, for elections that I oversee as Secretary of State, so those are federal and state elections, we have paper ballots. So, of course, the vast majority of Coloradans choose to vote on a mail ballot, which is a paper ballot. Even if you do vote in person on a piece of voting equipment will actually give you a piece of paper that you look at before it's counted. So that's just one of the reasons that we're considered the safest state, because we do have a paper trail and we do bipartisan risk-limiting audits after the fact to ensure that tabulation was correct. And that we can find any discrepancies and have a huge amount of confidence to a high statistical degree of certainty.
Is it true that because passwords were published on the internet, the result is that all election machines are made more vulnerable to hacking?
The passwords that were posted are unique only to Mesa County. And to use those passwords, you have to physically be in place in front of the piece of voting equipment in Mesa County. So that's just one of the reasons that Colorado leads the way in secure elections, because we have layers of security measures, both preventative and for detection purposes, which should really be a model for other states. Some of the safeguards we have in place include restricted access to equipment, chain of custody logs, equipment is under lock and key, tamper evidence seals, the fact that the election system is segmented with each county having its own closed network, and systems across counties are not connected to one another. And on top of that, election systems have separate sets of passwords. One set is only held by a few specific civil servants within the Department of State, and the other is held by county officials. That means that no one person has all the keys to the castle, as there are several passwords that are kept separate and protected by separate parties.
How much did it cost the taxpayers of Mesa County to get those 41 new pieces of election equipment after the machines were decertified?
The decision to buy new equipment was made by Mesa County commissioners, so I would direct you to them to get the exact cost. There was basically three options. Once I decertified the equipment, Mesa County could have had a full hand count election, which would be tremendously difficult. There's a lot of votes to hand count. And then there were two voting equipment vendors that the commissioners could have chosen from. But for the exact cost, you would have to ask them.
Do you think that Tina Peters has done irreparable harm to the voters' faith and confidence in the election process?
Well, I think this is a serious issue for Mesa County, for the state of Colorado, and the entire country. If we have election officials willing to break security protocols and jeopardize our election infrastructure. With that said, I do want to ensure Colorado voters that the Department of State remains confident in the security and integrity of our elections. We will continue to be the gold standard for elections across the country. It is deeply troubling that elected officials across the country continue to betray the public's trust by spreading election misinformation and repeating the big lie to undermine voter confidence in our elections and implement laws ultimately to disenfranchise voters. I'm proud that here in Colorado that we've been able to stop voter suppression bills, prohibit fake audits from unaccredited third parties that would risk the security of our voting equipment, and act quickly in this situation. We are acting to make sure that we are moving the ball forward always for security, access, and confidence. That includes the swift action in Mesa County and also passing legislation with bipartisan support this last year to improve our elections for all voters.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Secretary Griswold. That is all my questions, but I want to ask you if you want to add something that I haven't asked.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for reaching out and for covering this.
I wanted to get things in one place because we have been covering it on a headlines basis, but there's so many details and adjunct events and issues.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. This has been a pretty crazy series of events, and I'm sure your listeners will be excited to hear your longer review of what is going on.
If you just tuned in, that was Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, who spoke with me last week about the Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters case. I'm Kate Redmond, and this is Local Motion, KVNF's weekly news magazine. We will go further with our look into the chronology of alleged crimes by Tina Peters. Here now is my conversation with political reporter Charles Ashby, who has consistently been covering this story for the Grand Junction Sentinel. The county clerk position has until recently been a pretty low drama, perfunctory position. How did Clerk Peters politicize it?
It's been politicized since the very beginning for the last 3 years, and I've been covering it for the last 3 years. She started out very controversial, somebody who had no experience running for office, certainly had no experience running elections or running the clerk's office. And she ran against somebody who had 10 years experience working in the office and running elections. So it started out very much political.
In December of 2019, 20 of Tina Peters' 32-person staff quit, and then more quit in late February of 2020, bringing the total to 24. Did this render that office non-functional?
No, I wouldn't say that. She has made some good hires in some areas, but there is one person who is still in the office who was there 3 years ago. Yeah. And some of the people that she's hired in that interim have come and gone. So she's had quite a few. I think she's up to her fifth top elections official, Brandy Vance, who worked in El Paso County for several years with Wayne Williams, who is in no way implicated in any of this stuff. And Stephanie Wenholz, also, I think she worked in Arapahoe County, I'm pretty sure Arapahoe County, maybe it was Adams. She also has extensive experience. Both of them are good at what they do and have done what they've done for a long time. Over the last several, last 3 years, I have been dealing with lots of people who have come to me who wanted me to do more and more stories about her, and I've done several stories about her. Unfortunately, a lot of them are afraid to go on the record because they're afraid of retaliation. She has a pretty long arm in the Republican Party, at least she did, and so they were afraid to talk on the record. At one time, I had as many as a dozen people who were in the office who either worked there or had recently worked there who wanted a story to be done about how she was running the office, and none of them would go on the record. I even offered, if I can get all of them to say, okay, you can use me, but not a named source. And I thought 12 people, would be enough to be able to go with the story. They wouldn't even go that far because they were that much afraid of what was going on. We even had an Elrond meeting. That's from Lord of the Rings, where I met several of them in a neutral location where many of them had come and talked to me. And we spent like 2 hours talking. I couldn't use any of it because you know how it is. You can't just say things about somebody that you can't substantiate.
It calls to mind the story about her hip camp land up on Grand Mesa. Some of those neighbors were afraid to have their name used in the complaints that they had against her.
It wasn't so much against her because the neighbors knew that Tina knew who they were. But since Tina's out of state, God knows where she is, she has a lot of supporters here who don't seem to want to look at it with any kind of critique. They're backing her no matter what. And so they were more afraid of those people than they were of Tina herself.
In the recall effort of Tina Peters, two other issues were at hand in addition to her handling of lost ballots and the staff turnover. These were suspect business expenses and her decision to not oversee the elections of Fruita and Palisade under a decades-long agreement. Those elections cost those municipalities twice as much and three times as much, respectively. Was there a local blowback from that?
A little bit. And there were a lot of people who didn't like that. And that had been going on for at least 30 years here. I mean, there's no actual requirement for counties to do those elections for their local municipalities, but they just had been doing it because they have the staff, they have the people. And frankly, they have the capability. They can handle up to four simultaneous elections at the same time. And they could have easily done that. And it wasn't just Palisade and Fruita, it was also Grand Junction. And now I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. I haven't had a chance to do that story because they were waiting. In fact, the Grand Junction City Council at a recent meeting a couple of months ago before all this stuff came down basically said, well, let's wait a little bit because Tina might be gone soon. So maybe we can, get back to what we were doing before we go out and buy some expensive equipment. So, yeah, that was one of the issues that was presented during the recall effort was like, well, she's not even doing that, even though she's, like I said, she's not required to. But it just had been a courtesy and to help the taxpayers save money. And keep in mind that Tina Peters ran on a platform of I can save a lot of money. I can help you save money. I can cut the budget and do this and that. Actually, her budget has gone up. They've been spending more money. Almost immediately, she asked for four more workers in the election division. I mean, this is back in 2018, I think, not long after she took the office. She asked for four more elections workers, and they said, well, you've got four openings now. You haven't been able to fill, so no. And she moved some positions from the DMV over into the elections, and then she got the number of people she wanted in elections. But then she was short-staffed in DMV. And so then she went to the commissioners and said, I need help in the DMV. And they said, okay. And so they gave her four new positions, one of which is still not filled.
Do you think the recall election would have been successful had we not been in a pandemic?
I can't say that for sure because I'm only going on what they've been able to tell me. And they said they were only short by less than 1,000 votes or less than 2,000. I can't remember what the number was. But if they are to be believed, it's a high bar to recall somebody. I mean, you have to get, I think it's 25% of whatever that was they were elected by and you got a fewer number of days or months, like 2 months, I think 60 days to do it. And they said they had more than 10,000 signatures. In any recall effort, you always need 25% more than the minimum number you need. And they were close. And yes, there was a pandemic going on. Everybody was locked down. I mean, it was like the height of the pandemic.
Talk to us about the recent development with the deputy. With her deputy entering the DMV and using Peter's card to try to make copies.
Right. Now, according to the arrest affidavit for Belinda Kinsley, she had been told she'd been put on paid administrative leave because she was also named in the lawsuit by the Secretary of State and in the initial order that both of them would be temporarily prohibited from conducting elections. But they went further with Belinda because they couldn't run the elections, but they can still run the DMV office, they can still run the recorder division office. So there is still that aspect, but they basically told her, they, by the way, is our county administrator and the director of our human resources department here in the Mesa County. According to sources, and some of this was reported by CNN, some of this was hinted at with my story because there's only so much I was able to say in my stories, but it appears that she told her staff not to cooperate with the federal, the FBI, and the local district attorney and the attorney general's investigations into possible criminalities, which are separate from what's going on with her right now. And so they told her to go home. And so she did. And then, and all of this is according to her arrest affidavit. Okay. She then, like 2 days later, went back into the office. Somehow she got into the office. All they can figure is that somebody let her in. She got into Tina Peters' office and was using Tina Peters' email password and was attempting to print some documents. We don't know what. It's kind of the almost funny part. It's like, you know, criminals don't know when they're not being smart. She couldn't print because she needed a certain PIN code, and she didn't have that. And so she contacted through email, using Tina Peters' email, the County Office of Information Technology, asking for a PIN code. And they were like, well, okay, we'll get right over there and help you. And then when they got there, they realized this is not Tina Peters. And so they contacted the county attorney and the human resources department and said, yeah, she's over there. They had already launched an investigation for intimidation of the workplace. And so that was another reason why she was said, don't come into the office, because, you know, you can't do anything in the office. You can't interact with anybody in the office, not just not elections, but just anybody. And she defied that and came in. And anyway, so Pete Bear came back in there with the human resources director and said, if you don't leave now, we're calling the cops. And she did. But our district attorney, Dan Rubenstein, decided, well, he had his investigator file this affidavit to arrest her. And she actually was going to be arrested a week before she appeared in court. But because of certain logistical reasons, they didn't arrest her. And they gave her the opportunity to walk in by herself, which she did. They gave her 3 days to do so. She took the last day and did come in. And that's where the charges were filed. Because she is not incarcerated, she doesn't get a preliminary hearing. But she can have another, what they call a review hearing. So she's going to go through kind of the same thing she went through just a few days ago. Basically, it's just going to outline what the charges are. And just to be clear, it's second-degree burglary because she got into a building that she was not authorized to be in. And that is a class 4 felony, which is subject to up to 6 years in prison. And also a cyber crime because she was using someone else's password and trying to print things. That's just a misdemeanor, but it still carries a maximum penalty of up to 1 year in jail. So we're going to see that at the end of the month on September 30th. We're going to see more of that.
Back to Tina Peters. She's been missing now for about a month since she used taxpayers' money to fly to South Dakota to speak at Mike Lindell's election conspiracy conference. She has told the county commissioners that she's working remotely. Do you believe her?
I'm not sure. Well, first of all, let me back up. She did buy a ticket on United Airlines a week before that symposium to go, but it came out later that she never used that ticket, even though taxpayers paid for it and they didn't get a refund, because she was on a chartered flight with others who were supporters of her on a flight paid for by Mike Lindell, the MyPillow Guy CEO. I mean, right there. I mean, if you remember last year when we had the Hickenlooper thing, where he got in trouble for a couple of flights in a limousine, you know, and he got several thousand dollars worth of fines. She's already way past that now, because Lindell also admitted that he flew her then somewhere in Texas and put her up in a hotel and moved her to another location. We don't know for sure how much he's been spending on her. She has an attorney, apparently. We don't know who's paying for that attorney. The county has already told me in stories that I've written from Cora requests that I've done that there will be a fight if she tries to come to the county to pay for any of this.
So in addition to facing these felonies, Tina Peters now has a formal complaint against her for ethics violations for receiving these gifts from Mike Lindell.
Well, first of all, just clarify, she's not facing any charges yet. No, nothing has been filed against Tina Peters. So that needs to be made clear. The investigation is still ongoing. There have been three complaints filed against Tina Peters when it comes to the ethics.
Tina Peters paints herself as a victim and as a champion of Colorado voters. But your paper, the Grand Junction Sentinel, ran an editorial last month calling for her to step down. Do you think her actions have irreparably damaged Mesa County's voters' faith and confidence in our elections?
I'm not going to opine on what the editorial board did, but I will tell you that a couple of years ago, when they found 574 ballots that hadn't been picked up from the 2019 coordinated election, they didn't find it until February in 2020 when they were doing the presidential primary. In a Dropbox that, by the way, is located maybe 10 feet from the front door of her office, the paper had called for her to resign then. So it's not a new thing.
With the FBI involved in the investigation, as well as the Secretary of State and the District Attorney, why are they not bringing her in?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them. I don't know how that procedure works. From what I understand, a witness doesn't have to talk to investigators. I mean, they could invoke their Fifth Amendment rights if they want to. But I should let you know, you said an investigation by the Secretary of State's office, people blaming Jenna Griswold for investigating. It's not Jenna who's investigating. She turns that over to the AG. The AG has gone to the DA and said, okay, we can work on this together. Or I can take this, or you can take this. And, they've decided that the local DA is going to handle it, and the AG is helping. The FBI came in on it later after, initially they were involved only, peripherally. But after it became known that copies of the hard drive were made public, that's when the FBI became more serious. That put in some federal issues in here. And some things you have to understand, that if you lie to a federal law enforcement officer, that's a crime. That's a felony. So I'm not saying that she has, but I'm saying it brings into play so many more things. I have no concept of where this could go, because frankly, this is all quite unprecedented. Nobody that we know of has ever done anything like this, not just in the state of Colorado, but in the nation. So we don't know where this is going to go, where it's going to lead, and how many people is going to ensnare. It's not going to be just Tina Peters. The way things are looking now, there are at least two others, one of which is the deputy clerk and another elections official that she had hired, possibly some people from outside who are helping her. I'm not going to speculate on who, but it could go beyond that.
You've been listening to Charles Ashby, Grand Junction Sentinel's political reporter, on the troubles of Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters. I'm Kate Redmond, and this has been Local Motion on KVNF. Thanks for listening.